We go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, joined by Oliver Maroney. Oliver, I appreciate you coming on. How was the last I talked to you, you were very close to having a kid. You had the kid. I assumed everything went well, right?
Everything went pretty much to plan, yes. No, it's been a good couple of weeks.
How has fatherhood changed you in the brief couple of weeks?
Oh, well, I had another kid previous to this.
Oh,
so
okay.
This is number two.
We talk too much hoops. I don't know much about your normal day. We talk too much hoops. Okay, well, my biggest worry when I do have kids is that I'll never have sleep. That's like my biggest concern, that my sleep will just be sapped and taken away from me. Tell me it's all right, right?
It is all right, especially when mother is the number one option for babies of this age. So I'm usually I've gotten a pretty decent amount of sleep. I'll tell you, 6 to 8 hours is what you can conservatively expect on a nightly basis, given that the baby's healthy and everything's good.
I like how you're like, yeah, kids at that age just like their moms better, so that's okay. That's a cop-out we got to use. Be more than happy to use it. Oliver, I appreciate you joining me, though. My biggest question, at least the one that is maintained and stuck with me 72 hours after the fact, and we'll get to the JR play, we'll get to the George Hill miss free throw, we'll get to Tristan Thompson and Draymond Green at the end. There's so many storylines here, but the biggest one that has stuck with me is what happened with the Charger block call, where I believe the officials just blew it. In a subjective call, they made themselves matter, and that's what's too bad to me. Do you see it that way as well?
Yeah, I actually just think overall the officiating late in that game was as poor as I've seen it in the playoffs. And that is I'm surprised I'm even saying it, just because there has been some very poorly officiated games. You look at some of the Warriors-Rockets series. Even the Celtics and Cavs series, I felt like the Cavs were hard done by in a lot of those situations and scenarios. But you look at that, and that specific block charge is going to be the one that's going to get all the highlights on it. Yes, I believe that he was further out from the restricted area than needed to be replayed or shown again. And I'm very surprised that they made that call in that situation late in the game. But I think there's a couple others right before that. LeBron had been hit on the wrist by, mm-hmm. I think it was Kevon Looney, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then there was a steal and a block on KD, which was clean, and he got called for it. There was just, it felt like over and over again, the referees were given an out, and they didn't take it. And, I hate to say that about the NBA because this is a game I cover. I enjoy watching it. I enjoy being a part of it. But it's really, really difficult to swallow if you're just I don't care who wins. Cavaliers, Warriors, I don't have any bias towards either of them. And the fact of the matter is it's a hard pill to swallow if you're a non-biased, viewer of the game when you're looking at the game and seeing these calls missed time and time again. It's a painful pill to swallow, and I feel mm-hmm. for Cleveland Cavaliers fans, specifically for Game 1, because that was, to me, the best opportunity you're going to have.
It was a clear chance to steal one, no question about it, and that's what makes it so confounding to me, though, is that just everything you laid out, and I know, I understand the league does not benefit from giving Golden State these calls in a game where if the Cavs win, it extends the series even further. Like, I know the NBA, it's not in their best interest. So I'm trying to come up with another angle or something different on it to help explain away how the refs just blew it this bad. But it's a subjective call that for 46 minutes of the game, it would have just been a charge.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's going to go back and review that. You can't anyways. Kevin Durant, obviously, it sounded like he knew the rule. He was pleading to get that rule, to get that kind of reviewed, which good on KD for remembering, good on KD for, I guess, preaching to the choir. To me, you'll never see this in the NBA, but honesty should be part of the factor here. And it's really, I think, as an official and a referee, if the players aren't honest, it's very difficult to read the situation and understand who is right, who is wrong, why this happened, why it didn't happen. And I think that needs to be addressed as well. I'm pretty tired of players making their cases for things, especially, you look at the Draymond Green foul on LeBron, where he clearly pokes his eye.
Yeah.
And Draymond Green is screaming at the referee, why is that a foul, the whole thing. And you're sitting there just, it's just so plainly obvious that you're arguing for no reason, really. and you had to have known that you hit him in the eye. Those sort of plays really irk me, and I think the referees get caught in a very difficult decision at that point because they really don't, you know, obviously, that was very clear as day. But if LeBron gets hit on the wrist, nobody sees that hit. Nobody's ever going to, you know, see it for the rest of the game, and they just move on. But, like I said, it's very difficult to swallow big decisions like that time and time again. Mm-hmm. And I think it plays a huge factor. And I've talked to players about this. When you are officiated a certain way and you get numerous calls against you that you do not feel are supposed fouls or calls, the aggression level, the frustration level, and the way the game is played changes dramatically. And I think that's just, it's something that the NBA really needs to look at and give consideration to a possible, if it's a challenge per team or whatever you want to do. I know people don't want to slow down the game, but there has to be a way to get out of some of these calls and say, hey, you missed one, let's go back and get this right. And in the charge block foul, like I said, they did actually make the correct quote-unquote call, I guess, if you want to make that case. I just think there were a number of calls that did not go Cleveland's way to the point where this just seemed oddly in the Warriors' favor.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Joined by Alvin Maroney, writes for Dime, also host of the Big 3 show. You can follow him on Twitter. There he is, at OMaroneyNBA. Hey, Oliver, some stuff away from it. Obviously, the final minute of that game, there was just a million things that went on. I'm not going to kill JR. JR is beloved here. What he did in 2016, Game 7 of the Finals in particular, you don't have a championship without JR Smith. So it's very hard for me to kill JR. But I also have the understanding that in that type of moment, how do you – you're around these players as much as anybody. How do you believe that he could just have something that is so simple that you're taught in fifth grade just go away without the explanation of it's just JR being JR and this is what you're come to expect, the good and the bad?
Yeah, I kind of have a hard time believing that there was it definitely seemed like he had some sort of idea in his brain and just didn't really execute that. And it looked like he kind of panicked after he realized what was going on. It was after he dribbled the ball out that mm-hmm. he realized, oh, this is okay, we have 2 seconds or whatever. It just seemed like there was a light bulb that flipped off a little bit too late. Clearly, there should have been some game planning. I do put a little bit of onus, and I don't want to blame all the Cavaliers or the team, but in those sort of situations and moments, coaches and players will tell you, you're reminded every time, every second of that play on the free throw line, in the huddle before those free throws get shot, on the sidelines. Every player should be talking about that, and I don't know if that was or wasn't the case. But I think, putting the onus all on JR is, putting blame on somebody that I don't believe should be put the full and whole blame on. I also, when you look at this, and I haven't seen Cavaliers sets or plays when they're on free throw line, but late in the game, LeBron James is at the top of the three-point line. And yeah. I know he had an excellent game, and I'm not going to sit here and say that he wasn't the best player on the floor by a long shot, but if you're trying to tell me that you want to try and get a rebound if your player misses, why is J.R. Smith on the free throw or on the side of the free throw line instead of LeBron James? And I think it's a really glaring impact on the game there. And you kind of look at just maybe the lack of coaching at that point. If that's the case, like I said, maybe it's LeBron, just his decision of what he was going to do. Maybe he wasn't thinking either. But then you put those two things together. And I think it just shows you that there was not communication before that play happened. And that's why I tend to lean off of JR just a little bit more than most people have.
It's an interesting point. I hadn't really seen that one be brought up because and as much of the time that LeBron spends conserving those pockets of energy, as he calls it, you're at the final seconds of the game. At that point, do whatever it takes in order to get the job done. And you're right. I would rather have LeBron up there as opposed to JR. Joined by Oliver Maroney here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Oliver, LeBron has gone 44-11-9 over the past three games. Obviously, he had the ridiculous 51-8-8 slash line in game one. Trying to predict a LeBron game is an extremely tough thing to do, but we know he'll get 40-plus points and also have a triple-double. this right here, though, this moment through this three-game stretch, is this as good as we've seen LeBron?
I think so. I was very early on one of the doubters of this Cavaliers team. I did not think they would make it through the Pacers series. I was one of the few that picked the Pacers in that series.
Oh, I remember that.
And
I forgot about that.
I am absolutely astonished at what he has been able to do at this age with the team that he has around him. And I do think it's a little bit of a slight to the team that most people are giving, at least, saying, you know, look, he doesn't have the players that he's had. This may be the worst team that he's taken to the finals. I think that's a little bit harsh on the players that he has around him. But at the same time, in year 15, doing what he's done, especially in the past three games where they have needed him the most, he's risen to the occasion. And anybody who simply states, you know, rings are everything, you know, the MJ LeBron debate, all these sort of things, I think if Cleveland loses this series, I think I would hope that some of those people would come around, those detractors, because you just have to simply look at how he plays the game. He dominates on both ends of the floor. He was clearly the best player throughout that game. And I don't think you can question his toughness, his grit, everything. I mean, he gets poked in the eye and he just continues playing. Oh, yeah, and my eye was blurry for the rest of the game, he says after. And you're sitting there like, you scored like 20-plus points in the latter parts of those in the game after you've gotten poked in the eye and, you know, just all the calls that went against him. And for him to be able to just keep his head high, I give him a ton of credit. I think there's a lot of players out there that would have lost their cool. I think there's a lot of players out there, you know, Tristan Thompson coming into the game at the last minute there and getting into that brawl or whatever you want to call it. I think a lot of players would have acted similarly to LeBron James in that situation, just based on how many calls did not go his way, even when he is the clear superstar of this league and the guy who's really pushing the league to another level marketing-wise.
And it's not to mention the fact that he is making all sorts of fashion statements in the meantime while bringing shorts. It's one of the most ridiculous NBA outfits I've ever seen pregame, but it's got me so hyped and excited to see what he'll wear ahead of game two. Oliver Maroney writes for Dime. Also find him on the Big 3 show. I appreciate you so much. As always, enjoy the little ones and hopefully get some rest, all right?
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Oliver Maroney right here on 92.3 The Fan. Always love his insight. I think he just does the NBA so well. And you're right, though. He reminded me that he did take Indiana at one point. That was with the lack of confidence around the other pieces with LeBron, which just adds to how amazing this postseason run has been. If you think about it, starting game one with a starting five that had never been together on the court together to start a game, and then just navigating that through every stretch of this postseason. We're going to look back on this run, and we're going to just realize how difficult of a task that truly is, and hopefully LeBron is the benefactor of the credit when it's all said and done.